Good evening. It's wonderful to be here tonight, and I'm really appreciative of the opportunity in a congregation where we have so many men that are capable speakers. I really do appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak to you tonight. Another thing I'll get to in a minute, speaking to you tonight is kind of a motivation thing for me, which I'll explain in a minute. As I get older, not old yet, and I don't want to qualify old, as I get older, I realize you have to stay in something and keep in that thing, otherwise you lose it. Okay, that goes with things at work and memory, and that goes with just things in general. You have to stay in it or you lose it. Fine example, most of you know I'm a pretty avid cyclist. I like to ride my bike. And I was in pretty good shape and getting back up to 100 plus miles a week, riding at least two or three times a week, getting back to being at the front of the group and having a good time, not being that guy at the back. Will you guys wait for me? So I'd kind of got myself back to that point. And then summer hit. And what was it, 90 days in a row of 130 plus in Bakersfield, and I couldn't quite make it anymore. And things got busy, things happened. I truly did get a little bit sick there. And I went 3 months without riding my bike. And that upsets me. I don't like that. So last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, I went out for the first time in 3 months. And I went later than the group of fellows I go with because I just wanted to go by myself. And I pulled in there and there was all the fellows. And they're like, "Hey, Jeff." And I was like, no, I'm just going to go by myself. And there's already guys getting my bike out of the back of the truck. And before I know it, I'm riding with the fellas. And luckily, it was a fairly forgiving ride, not too bad. And as I came back in, there was just one last little stretch as you're almost back to the truck. And it's a nice long, maybe couple hundred yard hill. Not too bad, but one I can judge my stamina by. And at the, you know, before I quit riding, I could get up out of the saddle. And I could sprint up a good halfway up that. I'd go up and then I'd stand and sprint the last half. So, well, let's see where I'm at. Got up out of the saddle and sprinted. I don't even think I had 10, 15 seconds and my legs turned to butter and I sat back down and humbly put it in the lowest gear and huff and puffed up the rest of the hill. So if we don't use something, we lose it. Another kind of thing that I'm thinking of is to keep that thing, I need motivation. Okay, well, maybe I need to motivate myself by doing a century ride or maybe get back into maybe just a race for fun, something like that. I need a training program. I need to keep doing something to keep me fit enough to ride my bike. I think sometimes, as I started pondering, I think sometimes we need this same push or motivation in our Christian walk. And like tonight, speaking to you tonight, that's a motivator to me. Okay, I'm going to be in God's Word. I'm going to spend some time studying and preparing. Okay, if this isn't obviously something I'm just like, oh, that's tonight? Oh my goodness, what do I do? Okay, so I commit to those things. No one's going to keep me in God's Word. Another thing, this one's a little more scary. I'm going to teach an adult Bible class the whole 3 months. So obviously, I've got books I'm reading and all that stuff. But you know what? It's a motivator because it keeps me in God's Word. But it shouldn't be that way. I should really be in God's Word anyways. And so that's kind of my point tonight is I think go over some simple routine exercises. So when I'm really motivated and I try to be fit, I have a little thing I do where I get up in the morning, I stretch, then I do about 20, 30 minutes on the Nordic track, a little cross-country ski thing. And then after that, I crisscross between just simple sit-ups and push-ups. And I wish I could say I do that at least 3 or 4 times a week. There was a time several years ago when I did. Just a simple routine like that. Simple stretches, sit-ups, push-ups. So take that aspect to our Christian lives. Just a simple routine workout we can do to keep our Christian lives current and, I don't want to say current, but just staying on top of things. Not becoming stagnant, not getting like where I was with my cycling, where all of a sudden I lost everything I had worked myself up to. So we talk about stretching. I stretch a lot, like more like this, okay, like nap stretches. I'm stiff, okay? I'm 6'3", and I can't even come probably that far from touching my toes. I'm just not real limber. So stretching is one thing I need to do. But stretching makes us limber, it makes us flexible, it makes us more quickly responsive. And stretching in a Christian life, think of it as Christians need to stretch their souls. And to do that, we read God's Word. That's one of the key things we need to do, is we need to read God's Word and stretch our minds and exercise our minds in God's Word so we can be quick, we can be nimble, we can be applicable in God's Word, and our reflexes in God's Word are quick. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So what they're saying there in Timothy is that we have to be able to present ourselves as knowledgeable of God's word and able to be able to apply it, not just being able to read through it. Oh, yeah, I read the Bible once. Okay, well, yeah, that's fine, but we need to be able to apply that and be knowledgeable of it. So we're called to study God's word. I think I preached a sermon years ago about being babes in Christ. Okay, and we know we're not to remain babes in Christ. We're supposed to grow continually and grow spiritually. So to grow and to progress from the babes in Christ phase, we have to be in God's word. Knowledge of God's word is fundamental. And one of the things I appreciate about attending here is a lot of the members have a lot of knowledge of God's word. And if you gathered it all up, there's a lot of knowledge of God's word here. And again, like I say, if you're in it, you keep it. Okay, fine example is work, and maybe people can relate to this. When I worked at Tehachapi, I kind of worked in a specialized area, and I did the same thing day in, day out. And it was elaborate, but I was sharp. I was good on that particular thing. People would call me up and ask me questions on it. And now I've gone for a long time far away from that. And if you ask me how to do something I was doing up there at Tehachapi, I'm like, oh, I'm calling people and asking them. And at work, you know, there's so much new stuff. I have to refer to manuals and whatnot. It's just a broader spectrum. But when you're doing that same thing and you become specialized at it, and you're focused on it, and you keep practicing, it's much easier when that situation happens. You deal with it. So how do we do that? Some simple suggestions. We need to be in God's Word daily. How you want to do that? I don't know. Take a chapter a day. Take a book a day. Maybe you want to have a start from Genesis and go all the way through. Set a goal to read the entire Bible each year. Or maybe you want to break it up into study. Hey, I'm going to spend this whole month in the book of Romans. Okay, and then, I would say focus on reading God's Word. But don't be afraid to use supplemental reading. Commentaries. I know we all use them when we're talking about a scripture by scripture Bible class. You got to be a little careful of those, but it sparks your mind a little bit, or if you're struggling with a particular section. Or take the section we usually have a scriptural Bible class in here, where we're studying the book of Hebrews or we're studying the book of Romans or something here. Well, maybe, read up on that. Another good thing here that most of the men that teach the classes here, they have a spreadsheet for next week. And I always say I'm going to do this, and sometimes I'm good about it, but not always. Take that sheet home and be prepared for next week. Study it ahead of time. Then you can answer or ask questions. The other thing you can do, turn off your TV and put down your smartphone. Give it up for a half hour and go to God's Word. Or you can combine things, and now your smartphone's got the little app, and you can actually read God's Word from your smartphone. So that you're combining things. That's acceptable. Quick story of a son that was going off to college. Father was telling his son who was going off to college. He told the son, "Son, don't take Jonah out of your Bible." "What are you talking about, Dad? Just don't take Jonah out of your Bible." And the father's concern was, when these kids go off to college, one of the first books of the Bible and stories of the Bible they like to attack is how ridiculous Jonah is. You got swallowed by a fish, oh sure. And they try to discredit the Bible. So the father told him, don't let them take Jonah out of your Bible. So the father kept warning him and warning him. So the son came home after his year away at college, and the dad off the bat said, "Son, did you take Jonah out of your Bible?" And he's like, "Dad, Jonah's not even in the Bible." And the father got all upset, immediately went to the bookshelf and got his Bible off of there, turned in the book of Jonah, and Jonah was gone. It wasn't in his Bible. So the son told him, see, Dad, before I went to college, I cut the book of Jonah out of your Bible. So you haven't even got that Bible off the shelf since I went off to college. So it becomes a story of complacency. Okay, this is not a book we can read through once and be done with it. The Bible, oh yeah, I read it. No, I read it already. Okay, this is a book we need to be in constantly. We cannot become complacent with God's Word. So that's exercise number one, read your Bible. Another good exercise is sit-ups. Just simple, basic exercise, sit-ups. It strengthens your core, your back. And to me, when I'm doing sit-ups, my little routine, it helps me stand up, you know, instead of the slouching belly thing out, you know. So sit-ups help you with your core, helps your back, helps your posture. So if we look at sit-ups and something that strengthens our core and our Christianity, let's tie that in with prayer. Prayer strengthens us. Prayer empowers our soul. Ephesians 3:14 through 16 says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So how we pray and what we pray for confidence. God has said he will provide us with confidence. He will provide us with the strength to bear trials. He will provide us with the strength to perform our Christian duty. He will provide us with the courage to glorify his name. I saw a movie called Silence. It's Liam Neeson. And it's about this priest that's in Japan in the 17th century. And they didn't like Christians in Japan in the 17th century, so they were persecuting him. And the horrendous acts that they would do, and they would get these Christians and bring them on. They would have these terrible things, like they would either have them spit on a cross or wipe their dirty feet on a face like a statue of Jesus. And so the ones that refused to do it, they would persecute them and say, okay, you're a Christian. But every once in a while, people would give up the faith, and then they'd go, okay, and they would do that thing, and then they would let him go free. Interesting movie. Unfortunately, here in the United States, we don't deal with that kind of drama. We don't deal with the kind of persecution that the New Testament church was dealing with. But it's still this difficult. Being a Christian is not an easy thing. And not to get on the high horse, but being a Christian in the United States, it's changing. It's not what it used to be. There's some persecution going on in different shapes and forms. So God gives us the courage to stand above that and stand proud as Christians. And so that's what we need to do with our prayer life. Prayer gives us forgiveness, or we can pray for forgiveness. In Acts 8:22, it says, repent of this wickedness, and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. So we can pray for strength. We can pray for forgiveness. We can give prayers of thanks. Let's stop and think, how often do we pray? How do we pray? Do we only pray when we need something? If we've gotten to that point, then it's time to come back and get to the basics of prayer. And that's a whole other lesson, not really where I'm going, but you know, if we've got to the point in our lives where we find that we're only conversing with God in prayer when we have a situation we need assistance with, you know, that's not how prayer works. You know, if we get to the point where prayer becomes more complaints than compliments, then we need to look at something. But if we keep a basic sit-ups every day kind of attitude towards prayer, that's what we need. So not so much how we pray, that's a whole other lesson. But encouragement to pray continually, just as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That's what I'm going to focus on tonight when I talk about prayer, is that we need to try to be in prayer continually. So we pray at church. Okay, that's a given. That's congregational prayer. And I'm a firm believer that the prayers of the congregation go a long ways. We pray at meals. Me and Barbara are pretty good about having Abby or Parker, you know, say one of the prayers while we go to meals. But how about when you go out to eat? Sometimes we go out to eat, we do it, sometimes we don't. I'm not the best at that, and that's kind of on me as a dad. But I watch other people, and sometimes I see other people praying at their meals, sometimes they don't. Before bed, about maybe 4 or 5 nights ago, I was working on this. I said, well, I really need to have a good prayer tonight. okay, I'm going to lay down in bed and get ready to go to bed. And, you know, Barbara wasn't up there yet. And next thing I know, and I was like, dear God, it was 2 a.m, okay? So if you're praying before bed and it makes you go to sleep, maybe that's not the right thing to do. Pray in the morning. Pray in the car. Okay, but you got to be careful, because if you're one of those, oh, dear sweet Lord, and you've got to have your hands free, okay? No Bluetooth praying. But, you know, I've prayed in the car. When I am in deep in thought, I love to drive. And sometimes those long, deep thought drives involve prayer. The main thing, we need to develop a time and a place to pray. Okay, my nightly routine, and especially if it's a night where I go to my second job and I teach and I don't get home till 10 o'clock at night, I'm usually pretty tired and my mind's pretty spun by that time, solving all the problems at work during the day and then going out and teaching for 4 hours. And I come home, say hi to Barbara, and I go upstairs. I usually go upstairs before she does. And I spend about an hour watching completely mindless television to rest my mind. And then I wander off to sleep. Okay, I need to put that mindless television and focus on prayer. What more soothing thing? Conversation and prayer with God is much more soothing to my soul than watching some stupid TV show would be. So maybe I need to give part of that nightly routine up. Give up 30 minutes of your TV and smartphones. You can pray anytime. Okay? You can pray anytime. Push-ups, that's another one that we do. Okay, push-ups strengthens the upper body, gets the pecs, gets the muscles here. I was driving Parker, I don't know, maybe he might be paying attention, but Parker, he is. We were driving along, and Parker was going like this with his muscles. He didn't, I wasn't even looking, it was just me and Parker, and I was looking, he was looking at his muscles, and he just this little number to, you know, make it bigger, and I'm just kind of chuckling, you know. But push-ups get that, you know, the muscles people see in your pecs and that kind of stuff. So push-ups are strength muscles, right? So to strengthen our Christian walk, we need fellowship. It's fellowship with church strengthens our relationship with God and other Christians. So right now, we're presently fellowshipping. We're fellowshipping with worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ are fellowshipping in worship with God. Okay, and of course, there's other means of fellowship. What we do once we leave the building, the more casual conversations we'll have when the service is over. And that type of fellowship, we go to... We have different things we do. We go to the Milby's on like Memorial Day and have a potluck in their backyard. The Williams have the little talent show thing. Those things are all great. Those things are fellowship. And those things of brothers and sisters, and more importantly, our fellowship here with Christ and God, helps build and strengthen our relationship with God and with other Christians. There's a story of a seminary student at college. And he got in his car in the morning to go to church. And as he got in his car, it just started pouring rain really, really hard. And it makes me think of where Kaylee and Hannah, where Kaylee went to college and where Hannah goes. Because it rains back there a lot in this little community town where people walk around. And so this kid's driving his car to the church. And on his way to church in the pouring rain, he sees an older gentleman walking down the road in the pouring rain. And he decides to stop and pick the gentleman up. And sure enough, it's one of his older college professors who's almost on his last years of teaching. And the kid's bewildered as to why this guy's out walking in the rain on this Sunday morning. And he asks him, he said, well, what in the world are you doing on a day like this out here walking? He says, well, I'm on my way to church. And so the boy asks him, well, why would you decide to go to church on such a rainy day as today? And then the man said, I did not decide to go to church today. I made that decision over 50 years ago when I became a Christian. When I gave my life to Christ, I promised him I would study his word. I also promised him I would do my best to follow his word, and every chance I got, I would be around his people, the church. I said, no, I didn't decide today to go to church. I made that decision a long time ago. And that's the mentality we need to have towards our attendance and worship, our fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Going to church should not be a burden. Going to church and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ is a rejuvenation. And trust me, I know it's work. I got little kids, and I know other ones here have. There's a lot of little kids here. We've been talking about it. It's work to get those kids up and get them going to church in the morning. And there's a couple gentlemen here that in their prayers mention they thank the wives or the mothers for bringing those kids to church, and they know, and I appreciate that. And it's wonderful to see all the children here that will hopefully be raised in a Christian family and know God all their lives. But we can never look at that as a burden. That's always a joy to go to church, a rejuvenation. Ephesians 4:15-16. Ephesians 4:15-16. It says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So we know here this church is it's the body of Christ. And each one of us in here is an important cog in the work that is done here. So we all work together utilizing each other's talents. And we all have specific talents. Me personally, I'd way rather get up here and preach like I am right now than get up here and lead singing. Okay? I even told Kevin, I said, "Hey man, please don't turn that on while I'm singing. And only when I'm up here." We're like the example of a fine watch. Okay? Everyone has their part that they do here. And we're a fine oiled machine. And if you take even the little tiniest cog out of that fine watch, the whole thing's comes discombobulated. So this church is the body of Christ, and we encourage one another. Coming to church is encouraging. Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and in all the more as you see the day approaching." So church attendance stirs us towards love. It steers us towards good works. And it's an encouragement. Okay, and even becoming friends and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters outside of the local meeting church here, not in worship, but even the extracurricular things we do becomes encouragement when you can fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ like that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing right now." And imagine coming into visiting to this congregation. And I know from cleaning the building, we have what the south side and the north side, right? And me and Barbara always argue because it's like, no, I get turned around. So, oh, yep, you're right, Barbara. That's whenever me and Barbara argue, it always comes down to, yep, you're right, Barbara. But which side's the south side? Which side's the north side? So think of, you know, if someone came in here and there was a definite rift between the north side and the south side. You could, I don't know, it was kind of weird. All the people that sit on that, they were making faces at the people over there. And I don't know, I heard one of the people from that side over there say something rude to one of the people on that side. And if that's the example we're setting, we're really not building unity and showing encouragement. So by the brotherly love and the sisterly love we have here, we're an example. We're hopefully an example to our visitors that they can see that this church is united. We're as one. We're as one in our love for Christ and the work of God's church. So it becomes encouragement and fulfillment. And I probably should have thrown this at the beginning, but when I did this, it kind of fit in here. Fellowship means having things in common. Since we're talking about fellowship now, let me just say what it means. But I think we all know. But basically, in simplest terms, it means having things in common. And obviously, we all here share our hope of eternity in heaven, our joys, our hatred of sin. We most likely share the same enemies. And so we have a lot in common here. If you would turn to Acts 2:41-47, that's the last big verse I'll read. Acts 2:41-47. And you'll see some of the benefits of fellowship that went on here in Acts. It says, "Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the number one thing we see in this fellowship here is that it builds God's kingdom. And right there in verse 47 and also in 41, but verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their numbers daily. They were doing something right there. People were seeing what was going on. And this is kind of the very beginning of the New Testament church times as well. So something to think about, John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. That's the relationship we need to have in here so that people can see that. People can come in here and see our relationship with Jesus and our Christian brothers and sisters, and we can be an example to the world. We can see that fellowship builds unity. In Psalms 133:1, it says how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Think of the bond that those Christians had that I just read there in Acts chapter 2. It said they sold their goods and divided them amongst themselves. Okay, you don't really see that happening anywhere else in the Bible. I'm not telling us all to sell all our stuff and give it away to everybody. But I think what the point is there is you can see the effect of God's word and the work that was being done there. And the love for God superseded our love for proper and our love for earthly things. Okay, and I think that's the gist of what that's getting at there without spending a whole lesson talking about that. But where's our priority and our willingness and our ability to give to those in need? Okay, there's absolutely no reason in the world someone in this church should be hungry or not being able to eat a meal or not having a roof over their head. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ would come together and make sure that does not happen. But you know that's a special bond that's there to provide that. Fellowship builds friendships. So above and beyond the meeting place here, a lot of us are friends and do things outside of church services per se. John 15:14-15 says, this is Jesus talking. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So that first part, you are my friends if you do what I command, that makes me think of being outside on the weekend washing my car or something in Abby and Parker's little friends. Be your friend if you do this. Well, you're not my friend if you don't do that. Okay, I think that's really where Jesus is going with this. But he's transitioning from that servant-master relationship because up to this point, you know, we had just had, Christ had just divulged to the apostles that he would be leaving. He had just promised them the Holy Spirit. And at this point, up to this point where we read in John chapter 15, he was kind of beginning to tell them, hey, here's what's going to happen. Now, the apostles, I don't think were quite comprehending it at that point. But Jesus is saying, we have a different relationship now. I can now call you friend. Because if you look at a master and a servant, the servant really isn't privileged to what the master's plans are, nor is he in the position to question the master's plans. But if they become friends, all of a sudden now you're conversing. Friends have the privilege of being aware of what one another's plans are, the reasoning. So Jesus refers to us as friends in that respect too. So the bonds of fellowship provide us with, kind of going back to those things on fellowship that we have in common. All of us here have a lot in common. You know, we should be able to share the same subjects of conversation. We have a lot of the same feelings towards certain things. A lot of us here have the same hopes and prayers. And those are the bonds that build fellowship and build friendship. So in conclusion, if you would, turn to Revelations 2, verse 4 and 5. This is a little extreme for the context, but I'll explain it. Revelations 2, 4 through 5 says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So, I'm not talking about full backsliding or turning away from the church. So it's a little bit harsh. But I think if we look at that in the context of what I've been talking about, sometimes we just need to get back to the basics. My idea for this lesson was an athlete or a sports team that's in a slump. And I think of the coach sitting there, we just need to get back to basics. Okay? And I think we need to focus, sometimes we need to focus on our basic exercises and not take the basics for granted. God's Word, the Bible, it'll help us grow in grace and knowledge. We need to be in it constantly. Prayer, constant prayer will strengthen our relationship with God. And then fellowship with other Christians will strengthen our faith in God and Christ. So if tonight, if you need to renew your strength or your relationship with God, or if you need to become part of God's fellowship, then would you do so while we stand and sing?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.